Hello, and welcome to another fact-filled, fast-paced NABBW teleseminar. As usual, we're here to discuss a topic of interest to Boomer women and their families. In a moment, I will introduce our guest, Pamela Sams, CRPC, which stands for Certified Retirement Planning Counselor, and NABBW's retirement planning expert, and she will be discussing her top five ways to prepare for retirement. But first, let me introduce myself and set the stage. I am Ann Holmes, the Boomer-in-Chief of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which is found online at www.nabbw.com, and we have a forum at www.boomerwomenspeak.com. Our websites are the number one sites found via the major search engines when you search on the keywords Baby Boomer Women. If you're not a member of the NABBW, you are welcome to join us. You'll find a handy link on the front page of the NABBW site, which you can use to join. This call is an example of one of the many benefits we provide our members. This live call is free and available to the public, but we record these calls and have a collection of over 90 past teleseminars, which we make available at no charge to our gold-level membership. Now, as to the format of tonight's call, get yourself comfortable and make sure you have a paper and pen, as I know that you're going to want to take notes. For the next 45 minutes or so, the phone lines will be muted, and Pam and I will be discussing tonight's topic. Then I will open the lines for questions from our listening audience. If you have a question before the lines are open, use the box on your computer screen to type it in. I'll see that, and I'll pass it on. Tonight's topic is a crucial one, so let's get started with an introduction of Pamela J. Sams, our guest for the evening. Pamela Sams has spent the last 10 years helping women and their families improve their personal and financial wealth through solid financial planning. Something I'm sure she can tell you is that many boomers, baby boomers, haven't paid enough attention to financial planning. She's a financial advisor with Financial Planning Services of Northern Virginia in Herndon. There, as an independent investment advisor representative, she offers securities and advisory services through ING Financial Partners, Incorporated. Pam is a graduate of the University of Missouri-Columbia and holds an MBA in financial management from Everett University. She's earned several client service and financial planning awards and successfully earned her Chartered Retirement Planning Counselor certification through the College of Financial Planning. In her work, Pam's goal is to help women, families, and small businesses maximize their personal and financial wealth through sound financial planning. She develops a customized approach for each client's planning needs in order to help them achieve a higher level of financial security through education, understanding, and scenario planning. One of her recent NABBW columns interested me because Pam wrote about a survey performed by the Social Security Administration, which suggests that many couples are not communicating clearly about their retirement goals and strategies, even as they are fast approaching retirement age. This survey looked at couples who were at least 46 years old with a minimum annual household income of $75,000 or at least $100,000 in investable assets. According to the survey, only 41% of those surveyed said they handled decisions on retirement savings and investments together, and 73% disagreed on whether they had a detailed strategy for retirement income. Many couples also disagreed on when they would retire and whether they would continue to work in retirement. Given those big red flags, as far as they sound like huge red flags to me, I suspect there's also a lot of disconnects on where they will retire. Do they think that they're going to stay at home where they are now, or are they going to move to the Sun Belt? Or maybe there are some of them who think that the only way that they can possibly afford to retire would be to become an expat and leave the country. I'm always a little bit intrigued about the expat scenario, but I don't really think I would like it, so I'm not wanting to go that route. So it sounds to me like there's a lot of trouble brewing for couples who are approaching retirement age, which means, of course, that retirement planning is something we aren't talking as much about as we need to. Given that scenario, please help me welcome Pamela J. Sams. Now, Pam, before I launch into my questions, let me give you a brief opportunity to comment about that survey if you'd like to. based on your professional experience, did those findings ring true to you?
First, to thank you for having me this evening, Anne.
Oh, sure.
Yes, actually, that survey is true. I see that a lot with couples, really. Both of them are in different directions on how they want to accomplish retirement. Myself and my husband have had several conversations as well, and I'm not a cold weather person, and he is, and so I'm going to be in Florida, and he's probably going to be somewhere else. So I can see the disconnect as well. And with that survey, it probably touched on it a little bit, is that I had also seen and heard about people having separate retirements, so where the husband continues to work a little bit, the wife retires, or vice versa, and they spend part of the year somewhere else with doing their thing, and then their spouse does something else. So I've seen that quite a bit as well.
I've only seen that a few times, not that I've had a lot of experience with it like you have, but it always shocks me when I find it happening. Pam, one of the most amazing things that I saw was a situation where I live in Galena, Illinois, which is kind of it's a vacation community. A lot of Chicagoans come here because it's about a three-hour drive from Chicago, so they come here. It's a historical town. There's beautiful scenery and lots of things, fun things to do, so it's a great vacation place for people from the bigger cities in the Midwest to come. And what I noticed was we met a couple a few years ago. They were building this beautiful log cabin here out in a place called the Galena Territory, which is just really beautiful resort area. And once they got the house built, and he retired, he was a teacher, and he retired, then his wife said, well, I can't leave Chicago. Our son is handicapped, and there's no employment opportunities for him if we leave Chicago, so I'm going to stay in Chicago with her son. And I'm going, yeah, but he was handicapped all that time. How did this happen that you never talked about this until the house was built? And he lives out here in the territory, and she doesn't. I find that astounding, but I think you're telling me that they are not unique in doing that.
And no, not at the least bit. I see it quite a bit. I'm here on the East Coast in the D.C., right outside of D.C. area. And it's a very transient community as well, so we get a lot of people who continue to work up in the D.C. area for the government. And spouse may go down towards Florida or North Carolina or something that's fairly close to commute back and forth, and they have the separate retirement. So it's quite a bit of a turn on what's going on with retirement planning, and some people plan it that way.
Okay, well, I'm not sure I would like that. So, but anyway, we promised people that we had a number of fascinating questions to cover, so I shouldn't just chat here with you about my friends. Let's start with the first question that we indicated that we were going to cover, and that would be, do you say that there's, or do you find that there's a best way to determine when you should retire?
Well, I mean, you should definitely select a target date on when you would want to retire. That really kind of depends on the person. Normal retirement age is about 65, but I see people who want to retire a little bit earlier, and then I see some people who are really just after the market downturns of 2008 are really in the position where they feel they would have to work forever, and they're looking past 65 even in terms of retirement. So, like I said, anything earlier than 65 would be considered an earlier retirement, but I don't see that as much these days. A lot of people are really looking at 65 or probably beyond 65 just based on where their investments have behaved over the past few years.
All right.
So really picking a target date on when you want to retire is the key, is kind of the first step in the preparation for retirement planning.
Is there any guidelines that you would say that people should be looking at when they choose a target date? I remember someone asking me maybe 30 years ago, when I wanted to retire, and I said, you know, I hadn't even begun to think about it. I mean, I was probably, well, it couldn't have been quite 30 years ago, but I was in my early 30s, and it was a financial planner who had come to call on me, obviously because he wanted to talk to me about investing, securities, et cetera, and how I was going to get to a point where I could retire. But I have to confess that in my early 30s, when he spoke to me, the last thing on my mind was retiring. So I hadn't given a bit of thought at that time. So what would you say are some of the things that when you start to say pick a date, you probably can't just pick one out of a hat. There probably has to be some guidelines that you would follow.
Yeah, I mean, it really just depends on the person and their lifestyle. Well, you know, mm-hmm. when that question was asked to you before, you know, at age 30, I get that a lot with people, and they look at, hey, I don't think I'm ever going to get, you know, I'm going to be retired way before 65. I mean, because a lot mm-hmm. of people really, really want, especially if you're looking at your 30s or in your 20s, and then you just start out with a new job, you know, the last thing you want to be doing is working forever. So
right.
I get a lot of people in that age group are really considering early retirement for anything prior to, you know, 55. But then there's some caveats to that. How are you really going to start saving? Are you going to have enough? And, you know, what your lifestyle is going to look like. And then so if you get people in their 40s and above, they're looking at 65 as, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to reach 65. I think I'm going to have to work a little bit later. So there's mm-hmm. a variety of kind of thoughts, in essence, when you start thinking about a date for retirement. But it's really something that you probably need to at least try to put a stake on the ground and say, okay, I want to retire by 55. And then from there, what it would it take for me to get to retirement at 65, and what type of commitments am I willing to make in order to get there?
Okay. Well, probably one of the things that guides any of us, and you've alluded to it when you've talked about people saying, because of the financial downturns and the past decade or so, that they don't think they can retire. One of the things that people have to look at in terms of retirement, I mean, the concept of retirement seems to imply not working, which means you're not bringing home a wage. So that way we would have to look at what are the income sources that we can look at in retirement.
Well, looking at the income resources in retirement, of course, you have most of people have a retirement plan through work. Either 401k or 403b if you're with the government, or if you're in a teaching type position, maybe 457s if you're with a government agency such as the state. Then you may have a pension in there if you're lucky enough to have pensions. They are not as frequent as they used to be these days as well. And then probably either a Roth outside of work or a traditional IRA. Annuities also come into play in terms of different income sources for retirement. And, of course, Social Security is always the kind of the other leg of the piece of the puzzle when you start thinking about retirement income resources. But really getting your head wrapped around what do you have available that would make up that retirement income what would make up your retirement income, and then start planning accordingly based on what you have available to you in retirement.
Okay. Well, now, when we're looking at what we need in terms of retirement income, are we trying to replace 100% of what income we've had when we're working, or can we look at that we might need less because we might not have to spend as much on clothing or transportation, those sorts of things? Are there any guidelines to go for with that?
Well, I mean, in the past, and the guideline, or at least the general rule of thumb, was about 80%, anywhere between 70 to 80% of your current expenses to live off of in retirement. But what I generally plan for with people is really looking at probably is replacing 100%, because in essence what you're going to start doing in retirement is start doing the stuff that you didn't do when you were working, like more mm-hmm. travel, more hobby activities, and those things up, you know, probably just as much money. So replacing mm-hmm. that 100% of income is probably best. And if you wanted to scale back a little bit, then you can probably do maybe 90%. But I always look at a target of at least 100%, and then you can work your way backwards based on the lifestyle that you want in retirement. Mm-hmm. And that, like I said, a lot of extra expenses come from, you know, traveling, hobbies, you know, trips like that. I've actually seen people live off of 110% of what their expenses were, just because they've added so much stuff within, mm-hmm. you know, probably the year 1 through 5 that they're looking at in retirement. They want to do everything. So mm-hmm. they're going to need a lot more money up front than they would have when they were currently working, just based on their lifestyle choices.
All right. Well, I know that you don't have a crystal ball, but I'm certainly curious as to what your thoughts are as what is available from Social Security. I mean, I hear people all the time saying, especially my children tell me, that they expect that there will not be Social Security for them by the time they retire. And yet, you know, that seems like something that AARP is certainly always urging its members to be contacting their government body and telling them, you know, don't let Social Security go away. So what is your thoughts on Social Security and its availability?
I mean, that's definitely a concern that a lot of people have these days. And when I speak with people regarding retirement planning, depending on where they are in their life, I usually don't plan for Social Security if you're under 50, because I'm not sure. Like you said, I don't have the crystal ball, and I'm not sure where things are going. But for people who are anticipating receiving Social Security, it's really understanding where you are and the benefits of Social Security. Depending on when you were born, of course, it will determine your full retirement age and how much Social Security that you can get. The earliest you can get Social Security would be age 62, but if that's not your full retirement age, you're looking at a reduction of your monthly benefit, and you're basically mm-hmm. make that choice to take Social Security at age 62, you're locked into that reduction, versus if you had some other of the income resources that we talked about before and then delaying the Social Security until you get to full retirement age, then that way you have your full benefit and it doesn't become a reduced benefit, and also it's not counted against your actual income if you decide to have a part-time job or work in retirement, then your Social Security benefits aren't taxable as well. So really, mm-hmm. you know, when you're looking at the availability of Social Security, it's really is that when can I take it? Do I want the reduced one? Do I want the full amount? And then what's available to me as a benefit? And then also what's available to my spouse if something that happens to me? And understanding all of the nuances of the Social Security program, because there are a lot of different benefits that are available to you, and maximizing the Social Security if it is available to you.
Mm-hmm. How would the best advice from you would be on how to find that information out? Is that something that they should be talking to an expert like you about, or can they get enough information by accessing the Social Security Administration website? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, the first step is really to access the Social Security website through ssa.gov, because in order to save money, the Social Security Administration stops sending out statements. So if you haven't seen your statement in a while, that's where it went. They're not mailing statements anymore.
I've been wondering, because I have a little folder in my, you know, in my important files drawer that for years has had that annual statement coming from SSA, and I realized the other day they're not showing up anymore.
They're not showing up anymore. It's part of the government initiative that we're trying to get ourselves out of a deficit, so we're going to save money someplace, and they're not going to send you your statements. You can call SSA to request a copy of your statement, but you won't get that annual statement in the mail like you used to. So it's ever so important to go to SSA.gov and really look at the calculators that are available to you, plug in your information, and get an estimate of what your Social Security benefit would be, but then also working with your financial planner and how to maximize that and how it all fits in with your overall financial plan is beneficial as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you mentioned the basic legs for the income sources, but how would you advise that we go about determining how much we need to have put aside for retirement?
How much you need to put aside for retirement, like I said, really does depends on the lifestyle that you want.
Okay.
The way you categorize it is looking at what your basic living expenses would be. That's what you would need in terms of your housing, to clothe yourself, to feed yourself. Those are your need-based expenses, and then making sure you put enough money a way to cover your basic living expenses. And anything above that, like I mentioned before, the travels, the hobbies, the vacation home, things like that, are what are considered your wants. And then anything mm-hmm. of what you're saving for your basic living expenses need to be accounted for with your wants. But really making sure that you capture your basic living expenses, your needs base, is kind of the first step in determining how much you would need. And then depending on what type of lifestyle you want to live in retirement, the travel, the hobbies, and so forth, then that will give you more of a well-rounded number of how much you need to start saving for retirement. A lot of people, you know, a general rule in the past had been at least need $1 million and then I will be comfortable in retirement. That really just depends on each individual person as well. Some people can live off of less. Some people need much more in order to retire off of. And people are living longer and longer these days. Longevity has become quite an issue. So planning for a 25 to 30-year retirement is a real concern. So you really have mm-hmm. to, when you look at how much you're going to need, planning for to live in retirement for 25 to 30 years in that, and then, you know, really coming up with how much you would need to support that your lifestyle for those 30 years.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, given the situation with the economy and with the somewhat uncertainty with regard to the Social Security Administration. Obviously, we need to be saving and starting as early as possible, it sounds like to me, saving for retirement, although I certainly recall, you know, back in my 20s and 30s when I was raising kids, the concept of having money to put aside for retirement was just something that I couldn't seem to find in my budget, so I certainly didn't do it back then. So at this point, whether we are like me, who wasn't able to save anything back in those early days, or like my children, who I am so amazed that they are saving in their 30s for their retirement, where should we be saving our retirement dollars?
Well, I mean, where you should be saving your retirement dollars, really focus on kind of the easiest place. If you do have a job and if you're working and they offer retirement plans, if your employer offers a retirement plan, taking advantage of those programs that are available to you. The retirement plans that you have through work, they allow you to contribute on a pre-tax basis. Which is very beneficial because, you know, for example, if your salary is $75,000 a year and you choose to put away 15% of your salary into a 401k program or 403b or whatever the case may be, that money comes off right before they tax your salary on a federal level. So instead of taxing you at $75,000 less the 401k contribution, now you're only taxed at $63,750. So that gives you a benefit to put away money on a pre-tax basis. In addition, these programs also offer, most of the employers offering an employer match. What that is that if you put money in, your employer puts money in. So that's free money that is into your 401k to help you build your retirement. So you really need to take advantage of programs that are available through work. Now, if you don't have the programs that are available through work, really taking advantage of opening up a traditional or a Roth IRA for yourself so you can start putting money away into a retirement program as well. But those are, you know, some basic places to start saving for your retirement dollars. Like I said, the bulk probably with your employer to take advantage of pre-tax and employer match. And then also outside of work would be an IRA program or, you know, just additional savings in, you know, stocks or investments as a bucket, so to speak, for retirement income.
All right. Well, now, when I was doing my introduction, I mentioned the fact that you do scenario planning with your clients. So could you talk a little bit about how scenario planning works and how that might factor into making some of these decisions that we've been talking about?
Well, scenario planning is really looking at kind of the what-if situations. So when people come to me and say, okay, I want to retire, at, say, earlier than 65, age 55, we take a look at the resources that are available to you for retirement and seeing if that age 55 is doable for you. Now, there are a lot of things to consider when you look at an early retirement. Just to step back, we talked a lot about the retirement plans through work. The retirement plans through work and IRAs, that money generally can't be touched before 59 and a half, or there may be some penalties. So between 55 and 59 and a half, do you have resources in order to sustain a retirement before you can start withdrawing kind of the big pool of money that you have through work? So if that 55 doesn't work based on I don't have this big pool of money that will support 4 years before I can start withdrawing from my other programs, looking at what is feasible and when I can start withdrawing and it's comfortable. So we kind of look at between 55 to maybe 57, 58, you know, all the way to 59. So we look at I look at different what-if strategies and to determine what is optimal for them in terms of retirement. And based on that, if 55 is the number, that target date that you kind of put, you drew the line in the sand, so I'm not going to work past 55, then what are the options do you have to do? Do you have to save, you know, X amount of dollars more per month? Are you willing to do that? And then looking at putting that into the scenario, if I start saving an extra $1,000 a month, will that get me to my retirement goal faster? And am I willing to put that in? So really the scenario planning looks at different what-if strategies at different points in time and then running those scenarios and then plugging in the what-ifs and what needs to happen in order to meet those goals.
Okay. So say someone listening to the call is thinking, okay, I haven't worked with a financial planner before and I realize that I am not at all prepared for retirement according to the discussions that we've been having so far. So they decide that they need to consult with a financial planner. What would you advise such a person that they need to bring to an appointment, an initial appointment with
to
you?
Initial appointment is really to bring in what you have saved so far. Your statement, your investment statements, your bank account statements, any budgets that you may have, either on Quicken or, you know, the good old-fashioned, you know, pencil and paper still works as well in terms of what your budget is. And then really it's just a lot what your plans are for retirement. You know, the basic stuff that you need to demonstrate your financial situation. But a lot of the questions that I ask when people first come to see me is really, what do you want in retirement? What do you want out of life? You know, what do you want to accomplish? Things like that. So a lot of it is really values-based financial planning and really listening to them on what they want to accomplish and then basically putting in monetary value to what those needs are. So that's kind of what we discussed in that first meeting, and then looking at how to put it all together from a financial planning standpoint, and then looking at monitoring your progress on an ongoing basis based on your performance and what you're doing and how well you're saving, how you're sticking to your budget, and really just having kind of a financial coach in your corner to keep you on track and to make sure you're doing the best that you can financially.
Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of typical profile that you would say that you see among the people that consult with you, or are people's situations all over the map?
They're pretty much all over the map, Anne. What I see lately is really people who are really a little bit gun-shy from the 2008 downturn in the markets, and mm-hmm. where do I go from here based on that, you know, really kind of still in a recovery mode on what do I do now. So I see a lot of that as well with damaged portfolios that are starting to come back, but really trusting the system based on some of the things that came out of 2008 market concern. So it's, do I stay on the sidelines and invest, or do I just do the mattress and put everything there and hope for the best? So I mm-hmm. see a variety of situations regarding retirement planning, but a lot of them are really looking at what do I do now based on where we've been and do I trust the system. So I get a lot of that concern regarding mm-hmm. retirement plan, but knowing that they have to do something but not sure what direction to turn based on that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything that I've totally forgotten to ask you with regard to what your thoughts are on how to prepare for retirement?
Really is looking at, setting goals and starting to just get back in there. You know, a lot of
okay.
people, like I said, have been kind of gun-shy with getting back into the markets and not sure what to do, but it's really a good time to reassess where you are in terms of your financial goals and then really just outlining it all in a financial plan and working towards that. And then once you start mm-hmm. a savings program, not to touch your savings, because a lot of times people are really tempted to, you know, start dipping into these things, but really committed to putting aside resources for retirement. Because a lot of times, you know, people fall on hard times, you know, or like I said, what you had mentioned before, younger people who say, you know, I'm just living day to day right now, so I don't have any money to put away for retirement. But, you know, I'm an advocate of always pay yourself first and then everybody else gets paid from there, because you do have to determine what your future is going to be. Even if you're going to put away $50 a month, you start some type of savings program and commit it to doing that. So that's kind of really the key. If a lot of people are listening to this call, is really wherever you are right now, just get started doing it. And also, you know, continue to do what you're doing if you're doing that, and know that it will all work out in the end, but you really just have to kind of focus on your goals. Look at the eye on the prize and just keep moving. That's mm-hmm. that's, I would probably say that's kind of the main message, is kind of keep moving don't get stuck. A lot of times I see kind of the ostrich in the head in the sand, so I don't want to really kind of deal with it. But in order to kind of meet that future, you need to lay everything out, the good, the bad, the ugly, and start working towards your financial goal and taking a look
okay.
at everything.
Mm-hmm. All right. So when we say that we're talking about the top five ways to prepare for retirement, then you would say that your first way would be, if you haven't already, get started.
Yeah, well, the first one is really to start now and set your goals.
Okay.
And then from there, it's really looking at selecting a target date for when you want to retire. I mean, you have to kind of know where you want to go and how to get there. So looking at that target date for when you want to retire. And then from there, you're going to calculate how much money that you actually need to accumulate by the time that you retire based on that retirement date and the lifestyle that you want to lead in retirement. So it's a lot of looking at what types of things do you want to accomplish and what type of things you want to do in retirement,
mm-hmm.
and then putting a dollar amount to that. Kind of the third one would be determine your Social Security benefits. You know, something will probably still be there for Social Security, so going to SSA.gov and seeing how that Social Security leg will fit into the overall strategy in terms of the money that will be available for Social Security, so you know basically how much money that you need to save in addition to Social Security. And then the fifth one is really to maximize the use of the tax advantage plans that I talked about through your employer, through the retirement plans, individual retirement accounts, annuities, and things like that, and really maximizing those programs for you. So that would probably be the top five ways to prepare for a successful retirement that we want to cover tonight.
All right. Well, you know, what if you were talking to someone who says, you know, I think I'm in a situation where I'm getting close to the age where I'd like to retire, but clearly I don't have enough in any of these different programs, you know, to live the lifestyle that I would like to live. Is their solution then is to either downsize the desired lifestyle or become the expat who supposedly can live really cheap in some obscure country in South America?
It's probably a little bit of both. I mean, you had brought that up, and I actually have a client who told me she's probably going to retire in Costa Rica because it's a lot cheaper in order to do that. So people do that a lot. But there's a few different options, of course, you know, that you need to take a look at if you're getting closer and you don't have enough. Of course, the worst one that people want to hear is, okay, you're going to have to work longer. I mean, you know, if you work longer, you're making more money and you're contributing more to your retirement program through work, you may well have to work a little bit longer. So if 65 is not the number, but you may have to work two extra years in order to get to your retirement goal, 67 may be the number. So, you know, mm-hmm. this is the first option would be to work longer. The second one would really be to recalculate your retirement income needs. And like you said, scale back. You know, maybe I don't need the vacation home, or maybe I don't need the houseboat, or whatever the case may be. And then scaling mm-hmm. back kind of a little bit on the lifestyle to recalculate what you actually need in retirement. So can I live off of less is what you're looking at in option number two. And, of course, kind of the third one would be to increase the amount that you're saving. So you're getting close, you don't have enough, you know, maybe throwing an extra, you know, couple of $100 a month may actually help you with accumulating more towards the retirement goal as you get closer. So really looking at, you know, do I have to work longer in order to meet my retirement goal? Do I kind of live off of less and scale back? You know, maybe I can't have kind of the pie in the sky, but what would satisfy me and what would be acceptable, you know, for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one would be, you know, to maybe throw a little bit more money at it in terms of your overall savings.
All right. Now, when you talk about the need to write out our retirement goals, do you have any suggestions on how we can make sure that what we're envisioning is realistic?
Everything is, you know, relative in terms of, you know, where people want to, how they want to live in retirement. So I wouldn't say, you know, not realistic. I mean, you know, what I do is people say, I want to, you know, retire at 55 and I want the houseboat and I want this and I want that. You know, those things are doable for people, but are you committed and what do you need to do in order to get that to that lifestyle that you want and really, you know, kind of laying it all out again in a scenario planning is that, okay, you can have these things and you can have these toys and you can have this lifestyle, but this is what it's going to take, and are you committed to doing that? So what I generally do when you write out your retirement goals is you're looking at that pie-in-the-sky scenario. So you want everything. You just write everything down that you want to happen in retirement. You know, I want to travel 4 times a year. I want to, you know, go to the south of France. I want a vacation home in Vancouver and the Mediterranean or whatever you want, and putting everything down and then prioritizing. It's like, okay, this is kind of over-the-top type of situation. Maybe I don't need that one. I can put that towards the bottom of the list. But I have to have this and this and this, and then you kind of work within what is reasonable for you based on kind of prioritizing those retirement goals that you wrote down. But I always encourage people to dream the best retirement that you want. So the first cut at your, all of your retirement goals is really to put the pie in the sky on what you want and then working your way towards really prioritizing what is the best situation for you. But always dream big, and then we kind of put price tags to that, and is that price tag doable for you? We kind of work on getting to that that ultimate goal. But always write everything out that you want.
Okay. Now, obviously, I can't think of a time when there hasn't been some sort of inflation going on with the cost of living. I think maybe right now we're not, you know, we've been in a little bit of a roller coaster where there hasn't been as much inflation, you know. And right now, for example, there's some really great buys in real estate, for example, because of what's happened with the whole marketplace. But how would you advise someone when they're thinking of that pie in the sky plan? How do we think in terms of how the cost of living is most likely going to continue to increase over that 20 or 30 or 40 years that we might still have ahead of us once we retire?
And that's definitely a good question. And in the process of doing the scenario planning, when I do financial planning for my clients, is really taking a look at today's dollars and then what is it going to inflate at. I generally use somewhere between 3% and 4% as an inflation rate, because that's historically what things have been. They're a little bit lower now based on that. But, you know, look at where we are with the overall deficit. You know, things are going to go up at some point in time, especially with probably an increased tax base. And so once that happens, then numbers start to inflate a little bit. But through the process of doing scenario planning and financial planning, putting a today's dollars and then inflating it out 3 or 4%, you can basically see what things will cost in the future. So if I'm buying a loaf of bread at a dollar today, but, you know, in retirement, that same loaf of bread may be close to $1.75, really making sure you have the same buying power that will allow you to afford those basic needs. And, of course, you know, food being one, of course, and, you know, housing and things like that. Looking at putting an inflation on there so you can take a look at what things will cost in retirement and making sure you do have enough towards that inflated retirement number.
Okay, so when you say, I think you might have thrown out the number of 4% inflation. That would be per year?
Correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we would have to then, is there some kind of calculator so that you can look at, you know, 4% over, say, 20 years, that's going to, each time you add the 4%, it to me, I'm not quite sure how you do that math.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a use of Monte Carlo simulation that they use
okay.
in financial planning. It's a little complicated, but what it looks at is, okay, if something costs a dollar today, what is it going to cost 20 years from now? And making
mm-hmm.
sure you're able to cover that cost. So it's kind of built in the calculations. It's just a basic time value of money calculation
mm-hmm.
that you need to do. A lot of, you know, you can play around with a lot of calculators online, or, of course, you know, you can go see your financial planner and say, you know, take a look at what this will be in future dollars. And it's just, like I said, a basic time value of money calculation based on inflation.
Okay. When you, I'm curious because I'm a self-employed person. So as a self-employed person, you know, I don't have to worry about my employer is going to tell me I have to retire at 65. Obviously, I can let myself keep working as long as I want to. But there's so many unknowns when you're self-employed. You can't
mm-hmm.
You can certainly set up a Roth IRA and you can set up a pension plan for yourself. I've never done that. So if you were talking to someone who is, you know, has maybe more and more of our baby boomers have become self-employed due to the economic downturn causing them to lose their jobs. So is there general advice that you would offer to someone who would say, well, I don't have some of these underpinnings that traditionally, you know, as an employee I would have had in the past?
Mm-hmm. Definitely as a business owner, you're pretty much operating as, you know, your own employer, you know, you're on
mm-hmm.
your own employer. So the same thing still hold true. I mean, you do have to set up your retirement plan for your business, either a simple IRA or a SEP, SEP IRA. If it's you and a partner, you may be able to do a solo 401k. So there are a variety of different retirement programs that are available to business owners as well. And then the same thing holds true is that from whatever I get out of the business, I do have to put some into my retirement plan. And then you also get tax breaks for that as well as a business owner that you can write off the amount of money that you put into your retirement plan for you as an employee of your own company.
Mm-hmm.
So really making sure you have a set retirement plan, because if you build your business, you know, large enough, it will be, you know, your retirement at some point. You know, you may want to, you know, sell your business. So really
right.
getting a business valuation to see what your business is worth if you decide to sell it. And then that piece becomes a part of your overall retirement plan as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that business owners can do. But the initial one, when I, you know, first meet with a business owner, is do you have a retirement plan for yourself? And then, of course,
mm-hmm.
do you have some of the other risk management programs? Because if you're working for yourself, you become disabled, then who's going to bring
right.
in the bacon? So making sure you
mm-hmm.
have disability insurance, and the same thing with life insurance, making sure you have all of these programs in place that your employer generally provides for you, but making sure you have those same programs available to yourself for you as employer and employee.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. Well, this has been wonderful information, Pam, and I see that our time is really flying by here, so I'm going to open the call up and ask if any of our listeners, make sure that I've got it set up so all guests can talk. Yes, we're set up that way. So anyone who has a question for Pam, please go ahead and just speak up, call out your question, and we'll see what we can give you for an answer. Ah, like you and I were considering, Pam, it sounds like sex and money are people things that people don't want to talk about out loud. It's a private thing. So I can understand that. Are there any things that you think that we haven't covered that we should cover? Otherwise, I should tell any of those listeners here that have a question but they're uncomfortable with voicing it here publicly, they could certainly send you an email and you could suggest where you would suggest that they would get the best help for that. I believe that the best email that they could use for you, Pam, would be pamela@makingmoneysense.com. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
So that's makingmoneysense.com. And, of course, Pamela spelled Pamela. So for any of you that do have questions and you just don't want to air them publicly, I understand that. But Pam has said that she would be willing to entertain any questions from any of our listeners. So that would be the best way to reach her.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right. Anything that you think that we haven't covered here that we should cover?
Well, I mean, I think the key message, when I first decided to do the topic for at least the 5 ways to prepare for a successful retirement, recently I went to a symposium with the Women's Institute for a Secure Retirement that's based out of D.C., and that we all talked about retirement, the retirement journey for women. And some of the statistics that came out of that forum was really, really dire in terms of percentage of widows that were living off their sole income was Social Security, and that a large percentage of women in retirement over, I believe, age 75 was below the poverty level. So this mm-hmm. is a really, really serious situation in terms of women and retirement in this country, and making sure that they have the things in place that they need, and not only having, Social Security, God forbid that it goes away, as the only resource that you have for retirement. So it's really a wake-up call for a lot of boomer women as to assess where you are in retirement so you don't become one of those statistics that I read about at the symposium.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's really has been a kind of a mission and a passion for my practice is really to educate as many women as possible of the importance of getting an understanding of this whole retirement planning, the whole financial planning in general, and getting your head wrapped around where you are financially. Because the numbers don't look good, if you're mm-hmm. not going to in the future, really address where you are and make it happen.
Excellent point. And truly that, I want to say that I realize that we've only scratched the surface of the retirement planning dilemma. And so this gives me a good opportunity to remind our listeners that you and I have scheduled another call for a week from tonight. It would be the same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, and corresponding times if you're in a different time zone from Eastern time, Thursday, that's February 16th of 2012. So the only thing that will change on that call from this one is that there will be a different URL that you need to call into or, call up on your computer in order to get the information for how to give us questions and how to access the call by Skype. So if you haven't received from me an email with the address for next week's call, just send me an email at info@nabbw.com, and I will send you a link for next week's call because there's women and retirement. It's a much more dire situation than men, unfortunately. We don't seem to have made all the strides. That old slogan from the 70s of "You've come a long way, baby." We've come a long way, but we still have not got financial parity, I don't believe. So something very important to talk about when we're considering that women live longer than men, and all of us are living longer these days. So clearly we need to look at what our retirement is going to look like and prepare and plan for when that time comes so that we aren't one of those people that says, I'm sad to say that I'm going to have to work until they put me in the box. I think that's a terrible story. So you've just given us some wonderful information here, Pam. It looks to me like we've about run out of time for this evening. So I'm going to thank everyone for joining us. Please plan to be back on next week's call. And if you have questions in the interim, remember that you can email them to Pam at pamela@makingmoneysense.com. You can certainly enter them into the Instant Teleseminar box here, because I'll still have access to that question box after this call is over. So if you want to come back to this box and on the screen and put in a question, we would love to cover your questions in our call next week.
Great.
And anything else, Pamela, that I haven't mentioned?
Yep, I think we've covered it. You know, we don't want to give away all of the other goodies for next week's call, but, you know, I really, like I said, want to stress the importance of, you know, taking a look at this this topic and really enjoy our time together, Anne, and look forward to our call next week.
Oh, I really have enjoyed it, too. This is such an important topic, and I really appreciate that you've provided us with all this information here to get us started, and the fact that you're giving us another hour of your time next week, Pam, because I look at the emails that people sent to me as the head of NABBW, and as I read what goes on in the forum, I know that retirement is sadly something that very few of us are prepared for, even if we think we're prepared for it, and we need to do as much clear-headed thinking about it now before it comes upon us, because by then it can be a bit late to play catch-up at that point. So thanks, everyone, for joining us this evening. Please plan to come back for next week's call with Pamela Sams, and if you have a question in the interim, remember you can email them to Pam at pamela@makingmoneysense.com. Goodbye. Thank you, Pam.
Thank you.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Moderator ID accepted.